And even though at times, instead of just blessing them, he told them what their problems were. And that's a blessing. It's the blessing to know. I mean, no, it'd be great to know what your problems are. You can't do nothing about them if you don't know you got them, right? And so I had a hard time when I started this series. I went, man, some of these guys got some serious issues. But then I realized what a blessing it was that they knew what the problem was. But here's the deal about thanksgiving and praise. Joy's going to be sharing on Judah this morning. And one of the ways that you're grateful and thankful, most of the time, is looking back. You look back to see what God has done. You look back to see where he's brought you to, brought you through. So this morning, as we worship God, maybe take a glimpse over your shoulder. Maybe let's look back for just a moment. Just see what God has done. And be grateful and thankful. And just let gratitude flow out of your heart. Because there's not a person here that can't look back over their shoulder and know, wow, what could have been were it not for God's grace. Where I would be were it not for God's grace. There's not a day that goes by, literally. Because I knew where I was. And I know where I could have been, that I'm not thankful and grateful for where God has brought me to. So, Father, we thank you. We praise you for all the blessings, Lord, that we have had in our past, how you have brought us through every circumstance and every situation. Lord, we read the scriptures and we see one Red Sea, but, Lord, we've been crossed over many, many Red Seas. We've come to situations in our life that was no way through without the miracle of you opening up the waters for us to go through. And for that, we're going to be grateful and thankful for in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen.
Surround us. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here. A miracle can happen now. For the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all around that the Spirit of the Lord is here.
Thank you. and said, we have so much to be thankful for, so much to give him praise for. And in the book of Isaiah, it says, I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I praise him for all he's done for us. He has richly blessed the people of Israel, you and me, because of his mercy and constant love. And when I read that this morning, the word that just stuck out to me was constant. He is constant. His love is constant all the time. You know, we go through emotions and things all the time. It's hard for something to be constant. But if you think about how his love and his mercy is constant, it'll blow you away. And I'm here this morning to tell you that we serve a God whose love is constant. This next song is about no longer having fear. We don't have to fear because his mercy and love is constant. So this morning, whatever's boggling your mind, whatever's right there that you can't get out, and maybe it's fear, maybe it's something else, but just let it go right now. And let's praise him together in unity.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears were gone. I'm no longer a slave. God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again to your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
And you made this. washing over us, and that we can stand here and let your love ravish us. How beautiful you are, how beautiful your glory is, and that wherever we stand today, we can praise you and show our adoration for you and the joy that you bring to us wherever we stand. We love you, Father, in your name.
Good stuff. God, yeah, he needs a podium. Thank you. You know, God is good, isn't he? Jesus is good. And you be good and fill out your card this morning. Drop it in the plate, okay? We know he's good. Now you do your good thing and do that. I was just thinking about this group up here. And about 10 years ago, I guess it was, I'll lose track of time, but Alan Harbaugh was our praise and worship leader. And Alan was not just our praise and worship leader, he was a good friend of mine, but you know, he felt called, and he went to First Baptist Church. And matter of fact, we have a praise and worship leader at First Methodist Church doing their contemporary worship service that came out of Eagles Way Church. And it reminded me of something Dusty said to a young lady this week when she was talking to her on the phone. And she talked about how much she really enjoyed it here, but her husband needed to be here in another place. And Dusty said, you know what, we're not about membership, we're about people. About people. And that's really what it boils down to, is people. But I was okay with Alan going, blessed him to go, but the whole band went with him. And so he's kind of, but I'm just thankful. God, in 41 years of ministry, has met every need I've ever had. I mean, and he just does it like that. And so here we go from 1 week with no praise and worship leader and no band to the next week. A bunch of youth who had been leading praise and worship in the youth building for a couple of years came down here and walked up on this platform and started leading us in praise and worship. And they've been doing it ever since. Isn't God good? God is just a wonderful, good God. And I'm blessed here not only to have that kind of backup, but to have backup that when I don't want to preach, I got somebody to do it. Not that I don't want to, but I was going on a fishing trip this week, so I'd asked Joy a few weeks ago, would he stand in for me? And, of course, he said yes. How many follow Joey on Mojo Ministries? Good thing to follow. If you don't, you get a good word every day of encouragement. But I asked him to do it. Then he called me when we got stormed out, and he said, you want to preach? Asked me, did I want to preach? I said, no, man. I'll be there cheering you on, though. But I'm just thankful for all the people we have here who have a heart after God. And more than that, in conjunction with that, they have a heart out for you. They have a heart out for you. How do you know a person's got a heart out for God? They got a heart out for you. Their heart ain't out for you. Their heart ain't out for God. That's good stuff. I done preach joy, so come on, buddy. God bless you.
All right. I passed the first test on the IT part. I got this thing turned on, so we're ready to go. This is going to be good. Thank you, Buren. When I ask you what he asked you, how many of you are following me on Mojo Ministries on Facebook or anything? I mean, make some noise. Now you're talking. See, that makes me feel better right there. When he said it, I thought, man. Nobody knows about it, I guess. Thank you, Buren. And I want to repeat something I said last week. I did the welcome last week, and it was Father's Day. But I just want us once again in this house to understand and know that Buren is the father of this house. And Buren is our leader and our pastor, and the heart that he was describing right then is the heart that he's got, and he pours it all out on us. And I'm going to talk to you a little bit about some different things today, mainly about the praise thing. But I want us to know as a body, church body, we need to be constantly lifting and praising Buren Goss for what he does and how he leads us, okay? All right? Love him all the time. All righty? Well, thank you. And Buren, he did give me the opportunity, and I was very excited when he told me that he was going on a fishing trip, not that you were going to be gone, but that I would have the opportunity to speak. And I'm always looking for that, and I love the opportunity. So I'm looking forward to it. I got a word for you today, and I'm excited about it. When I got here, I was welcoming people at the door, and they told me to come inside because I needed to get wired up. And I said, I've been wired up a long time. That's not going to happen. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about Mojo. So I retired from Delta in 2012, and I was called into the ministry, and I became I was ordained here in this house. And I started Mojo Training and Coaching, or Mojo Ministries. And so for some of you who don't know, I'll tell you a little bit about what I do. I do two things. I meet people in my home, and I'm a life coach. I learned from my mentor, Ralph Martin, and I'm going to say a few things about him in a moment. But what I do is I meet with individuals one-on-one. I have an office in my house, and we meet usually once a week, and I coach people about life. Everything that I do is based upon biblical principle. And I basically coach the way Ralph does. I coach people to look at life from a positive perspective. And I show them scripture and different things about how to live your life and to live it more fully. The other thing that I do is I do personal training in the gym. And I'm thankful this morning I got several of my clients who came to hear me this morning. They don't get enough of me sometimes during the week. And I talked them into it and told them I'd give them a free session if they would come to church this morning. But I appreciate them being here. But I do personal training out of Salon Fitness mostly. I do a class at Intent Yoga on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 9 o'clock. Age has nothing to do with it. On my class at yoga that we do, I have teenagers, some in high school, all the way up to in their late 60s. My oldest client that I do at the gym with personal training is 67, and he's doing great. It's never too late. It's never too late. But I love what I do, and I love how I'm doing it. And I want to also thank my wife, Kitty, for that. I've shared a lot of people before that Kitty and I have been married over 17 years. And for those 17 years, or most of it, Kitty had been telling me constantly I was a life coach. Constantly. I would get up in the mornings to go get ready, and there'd be a magazine article on the sink right there about life coaching. And I would go places, and there would be something terrible out of a magazine laying for me to see. She's been encouraging me in it ever since we've been together. And I listened to her, but I'm so thankful that I stepped into it and doing just that. So I want to thank her for helping me to get where I am today. I am a believer that life is good, and it's only going to get better. I'm going to say it again. I am a believer that life is good, and it's only going to get better. And that's how I live my life every day. And what I want to share with you are some things to help you live it just that way. Two things to prove it this morning I want to tell you so that you'll know life is getting better. Some of you who know me real well will understand this, but this is how good it is. 6 months from today is Christmas Day. Christmas Day is 6 months from today. Whew, I can't wait. The other thing is, 69 days from today, from today, is the kickoff of college football. Life is good, and it's always getting better. All right. You ready to go? All right. Let's do this. Buren is preaching in a series that's called At the Table, A Father's Blessing, the Banquet Table. And he gave me some instructions about things that he wanted me to discuss today and talk about. And so I took and I read over it, and I've got it ready for you. God has really given me, like I said, a word. Even this morning at about 4:30 in the morning, I woke up and I did not wake up. First of all, let me just tell you, I don't wake up groggy, do I, Kitty? I do not wake up groggy. When I wake up, I'm up. I woke up at 4:30 and I really felt God telling me, I want you to add something to what I've given you. I went to my computer and I added it in there. This whole series is about being at the table, at the banquet table. Is there anything better than being around a table with family and friends? Isn't that where it's at? Isn't that where it's at? It's where we get fed, it's where we connect, and it's where we grow. And that's what this life is all about that God wants for us. Now, this month, the Father's Blessing, I'm going to talk this morning, and I'm going to talk mainly to fathers. And when I say that, I'm just saying I want fathers to really hear me. Because fathers, we have a responsibility. And it's not just when the kids are little. It's when they're grown. It's when you become a grandparent. It's on and on you go. If they've moved and they're a long way out of your life, you still have a responsibility. So it's for fathers. But this message is also for the mothers, for all of us. It's for everybody. For those of us who, those here who may not have children, it's for you. Because the instructions that God gave us about how we're to live our life on a daily basis and what will happen if we do. But I want to really stress to fathers today this thing. We have a responsibility. You know, one of the things that I have noticed and I love about my grandchildren is this. I'm fortunate enough because I retired and I'm able to do my schedule. Kitty did this for a while before I retired, but I took over and she's teaching piano now. But on Thursdays during school, I pick them up from school, take them home, do their homework with them, play with them, all that sort of thing. And I noticed something last year, early in the school year, that caught my attention. Just in passing, coming home from school, I said something about when their mom gets home from work. Now, Braylee's 9, Braxton's 6, and it struck me as very neat that they both knew what time their mom was going to be home and what time their dad was going to be home, to the minute. They knew what time they're supposed to be home. Now, I want to use that this morning and understand as part of your responsibility, all of us are that kids, when they're little, they live in a different world than we do. It's a completely different world than we do. Why do six-year-old little boys do what they do? Because they're 6 years old. That's why they do what they do. But they are constantly watching and learning from us everything that we do. I just thought that was really neat. I would test them all last year. I would say stuff like, what time's your dad getting home today? Boom, they would tell me. And Brandon actually changed jobs and his time changed. But they knew exactly what time Dad was going to be home. And they were waiting for it. Now, that should tell you what your kids, they have an anticipation of you and of waiting on you and of learning from you. This morning, it's about the Father's blessing, and it's a blessing of it all. See, one of the things that we're charged with as fathers, this is the part of the fathers, but it's everybody too, is we're responsible to pass on blessings. That's what we do. That's what we should be doing, passing on blessings. I think sometimes we get it mixed up as parents. We kind of forget that. And we think, and I'm not against discipline here, but we think our main function is to be very disciplined of everything. But you got to keep in mind and understand your main function is to pass blessings to your children. And they will pass them to their children and on if you do that. I'm going to show you in just a minute. But this morning I was going to talk about the book that's outside from Dwayne Swilly. I urge you to get one. There's some on the counter out there. It's a really good book. The book goes through the 12 tribes of Israel, and it's about each son. And this morning what I'm going to talk about is the son of Judah. Judah is the fourth of the 12 sons of Jacob. And he was the ancestor of the tribe of Judah. His name is given to us in Genesis 29:35, and his name means praised. His name means praised. Now, what is the definition of praise? What's the definition of praise? Think about it for just a second. I don't want anybody shouting it out, but I'm just asking the question for you. Dwell on it just a second. What is your definition of praise? What is that? Well, I looked it up. I wanted to be sure. The definition of praise is an admiration of someone or something, but this is the part that I really like, and I want to make sure we understand this. The second part is to celebrate. Praise is to celebrate. Now you're talking. All right, that's what we do on Sunday mornings in here. I was thinking as I was, I forgot my picture of Braylee over here. Braylee was about, I think, 3 or 4 right there. I'm not sure. And that picture is in my phone and it'll always be there because Lindsay sent that to me one afternoon and she said that they were riding down the road And that Braylee told her mom, she said, this is what Big Joe does at church. See that hand up? See there? That hand up. This is what Big Joe does at church. Thank you, Jason. See, that's a form of praise. And I wanted to show you that picture because see how important what I was talking about a minute ago, how kids are watching you. My granddaughter was watching me at church at a very early age. That during worship, what did Big Joe do? Raised his hand in praise of God. She saw that and she thought about it and she shared it with her mother just in case she had not seen it. But praise is to celebrate. It's to celebrate. That's why I raised my hand. I want to ask you this morning, because we just went through praise and worship. What do you do to praise God during praise and worship? Now, time out for just a second, because some people, they don't express it outwardly so much. Okay? And I get that. I understand. But here's a bigger question for you. How many of you want to, but you hold it back? How many of you want to, but you hold it back? I grew up in a church where raising hands during church was frowned upon. It was frowned upon when I was a kid and even when I was a young adult. No, don't do that. Don't do that. When I first came to Eagles Way, I was able to release that. I found something inside of me to be able to praise God. Now, I do it like that picture of Braylee. I do it sometimes when I'm riding in the car by myself, listening to praise and worship songs. Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I do it when I see some things. Sometimes I do it when a thought just comes to my mind, and I praise God. But I want to ask you this morning, because what I want to help us do is, I want us to turn up the notch just a little bit during praise and worship. I want us to turn it up. Listen, when I first came here, they had a song that they sang. It was called Crazy Praise. Anybody remember that? How many of you remember Crazy Praise? That was a song, I think the second month I was here, they were singing Crazy Praise, and it was a Crazy Praise song, and somebody in the back brought in a beach ball and threw it up, and that beach ball was just bouncing all over this sanctuary. But it was Crazy Praise. Everybody was allowing themselves to be overwhelmed with celebration of God. And I want us... We don't necessarily have to have crazy praise from that standpoint with a beach ball. But what I want to ask you to do and challenge you to do is when we come to praise and worship, and I'm going to carry this further down the line for you here, is that we have some crazy praise. Do not be afraid to lift your hands in praise. Do not be afraid to clap. Do not be afraid to give out a... There you go, Diane. She's good. We didn't even talk about that. But praise is a celebration. Now, what do you celebrate? What do you celebrate? What I'm going to share with you today is how we can go through our daily lives and celebrate life and God all day long, all the time. And I did say all the time. See, we go through stuff. I'm going to get with that in a minute. I was going to share with you. So here's how this thing works. And this is the first thing that I do when I coach my life coaching clients. The first thing Ralph taught me when I went to him was this. To develop my inner spirit of thanksgiving and praise. That's it. The first two or three sessions with him, that's what we talked about. Developing my inner spirit of thanksgiving and praise. Now, when he first started that, I thought to myself, well, I'm thankful all the time. I am. But what he challenges and what I challenge my clients to do is pay attention all day long, and you might find out that you're not doing it as much as you thought you were. And it's simple. I'm going to get to this in the end. It's simple how to get there, but I want to ask you, what do you celebrate? And now, you can celebrate other things, but I want you to celebrate your life every day. Every day. Now, usually when I talk to this about my clients, or when in general, in a group like this, when I talk about celebrating life every day, I will guarantee you that there's somebody sitting in this room today that says, But you're not living my life. You're not living my life. Now, I'm going to show you some scripture where I'm going to prove to you and show you where what God has told us that it doesn't matter what you're going through. If you'll change it, it'll change your life. It'll change everything. I'm going to do it in three ways. The first one is through our thoughts. If you can start to develop this mindset of praise, you'll start to see how blessed you are. See, that's one of the things that Ralph told me, and I tell all my clients, is I want you to spend time every day actively thinking about how good you got it. How good you got it. I want to challenge you in here today. Actively start right now thinking about how good you got it. Now, there's a piece of your mind that's going to start interfering and tell you what you don't have. You got to kick that piece away, and I'm going to get to that in just a minute too. But I want you to actively start thinking about how well you've got it. A mindset of praise, first of all, takes focus off yourself and puts it where it belongs, and that's with God. See, when we don't have a mindset of praise, it's the ego inside of us that starts seeing everything that's not right. And I'm going to show you that this is just simple as a decision. It's just one way or another. But what you want to do is start developing your focus, because if you focus your thoughts on constant praise, it'll take your focus off of you and place it with your Creator. Praising is the way that we dismiss ego. Praising will get rid of ego, see, because ego will have no place there. Ego will have no place. Praise, a life of praise and a thought process of being of praise, and again, celebration, leaves no room for complaining and negativity. It'll disappear. It'll disappear. Now, as I'm talking about this, listen, I tell this to all my clients. This is the simplest thing in the world. Sometimes I just laugh out loud about how simple this is, and I lived a long time in my life not understanding this, but this is how simple it is. If you will live a life of praise, complaining and negativity will disappear. There's no room for it. Living a life of praise is not only the most enjoyable way to live, but it's also the most powerful way to change your life. Praise is the engine that makes things happen in your life. That's what kicks things out and makes it go. Your faith isn't complete without praise. The first scripture I wanted to share with you is Colossians 2:7. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness or praise. That's what that is. It will overflow in thankfulness or praise. He tells us in Colossians, this is how we live our life, and it will make a difference. It changes everything. Now, the opposite of that, the positive and the negative, you knew we were going to talk about that today because I'm here. The opposite of that, it works in the complete opposite. Not living our life with a mindset of praise, and you cut off the overflow. You cut off your blessing because you're not thankful. You won't see it. It disappears. Praise touches everything and every part of your life in a positive way. And as I said, a lack of praise affects you in a negative way. So the question again for you this morning is, how much time do you spend each day in praise? How much time? You have to get this right in your life. We all agree that praise is good, but very few feel the responsibility to praise God when they don't feel like it. As we go through our day, we have things going on. You have to engage it. And it's inside of you, but you have to start the engine. You have to make it happen. I don't know anyone who wakes up in the morning and plans on being depressed. Do you? I don't know anybody who wakes up every morning with those plans. I want to be depressed today. No. But what happens? We get depressed because we don't fix our mind on praise. And we let stuff bother us. We let stuff drag us down. You are in control of your thoughts. Buren touched on it during the opening. We tend to think that praise is just a response to what happens. And if everything goes right, no matter what we're going through, we should develop our desire to be continuously praising God. Buren said that it's okay to turn around and look and see what's happened to you in the past. And I agree with that. That's good. But if that's all you do, you're missing what's in front of you. So you can't get used to just looking back and thinking about the good old days, or thinking about how good it's been, or thinking about how good God has blessed you. The key to this and the praise is looking forward and expecting more things through his praise and expecting that to happen. The next scripture verse that I wanted to share with you is John 14:1, and this is going to cover where it says, no matter what we're going through, we should develop our desire to continuously praise God. In John 14:1, Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be troubled. See, when you allow your hearts to be troubled, you lose your praise. You lose praise. You're going in the opposite direction. Now, these are the words from Jesus that he was telling his disciple. And here's what I want you to know, because I want you to know, no matter what you're going through, these are God's instructions. These are the instructions from Jesus, because Jesus was about to go to the cross. The disciples were, Jesus already knew that the disciples were about to see him arrested, tried, killed on the cross, and buried. He knew that. But these were his instructions to him, to them right then. He wanted them to continually have their life of praise no matter what they were going through. He said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, that wasn't a suggestion, it's a command. And you and I need to take on that same mindset. Philippians 4:4, Jason. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. In that translation, the other translation that I had written down here is, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Paul said rejoice 2 times as a point of emphasis for us, that we should always, always be rejoicing. Now, I want to tell you a story about Paul when that was written. He said it twice, because he didn't want anybody to think that he made a mistake with the first one. He wanted to make sure you understood it and got it on the second one. Paul understood the idea and the concept of living in a life of continuous praise. Now, how do I know that? Paul was many times, I read it this morning in the scripture, many times beaten and put in prison. Put in prison continuously. Kitty and I had an opportunity to travel some a few years back, and we actually got to go to Rome, and we actually got to go and see one of the cells that Paul was held in. And it's not a cell like you and I think. It's basically a hole in the ground. But we went to the cell where Paul was kept for a long time. Acts 16:25-28. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop, don't kill yourself. We are all here." What was Paul doing in prison? Not why was he there. What were they doing in prison? Praising, singing hymns. Singing hymns in prison. And you know what? When I started putting this together and thinking about being in constant praise, I'm going to tell you, and some of you, I've always read this story in this scripture thinking that surely they were singing and praising, thank you, David, that they were singing and praising God to get out of prison. That's what I thought. Anybody else like that? Think that thought? I thought because Paul was in prison and they were singing hymns and they were praising God, that the whole motive was to get out of prison. But when I was putting this together and I started reading this, I realized that wasn't it at all. How do I know that? They didn't go anywhere. They had the opportunity to leave. Said the chains fell off, the doors flew open, and not just off of Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners. Everybody. They're all done. They're free. But here's what I want you to understand, that I got this when I read this. They were so caught up in their praise, they weren't going anywhere. They weren't going anywhere. That's what they wanted. So what are you going through that keeps you from praise? What do you have in your life that you're allowing to interfere in your praise life? I want you to think about those things. Living a life of praise and thanksgiving will change you, and it'll change all of the people around you. It paves the way for God's power to be displayed, for miracles to happen. People's lives are affected and changed. God shakes things up through your praise. Now, going back to praise and worship. See, here's the thing about praise and worship, or praise, living your life of praise, and not letting it become an outward expression for you. Then who knows it? If you keep it to yourself, who knows it? It's okay to have sometimes when you do that, but here's what I'm I want you to have an outward expression of praise on you as you live your life daily so that everybody can see it inside of you in everything that you do and in everywhere you go. This is my motto in life. Listen, I try to live it this way. When I've got some clients here from the gym, but when I go into the gym every day, I go speak to everybody. I go around the gym and speak to everybody because I want them to see stuff inside of me no matter what. And I come in, and I'm the crazy guy because I'm coming in, and the first thing I'm doing is I'm going around saying hello to everybody and seeing if they need anything. That's what you do when you live a life of praise. See, people see it, and it changes the people around you. It paves the way for God's power to be displayed. Miracles happen. People's lives are affected and changed. God shakes things up through praise. Now, I want to go back a minute here and talk. Fathers, what do your children see you doing? I realize that I'm going through this message that sometimes I'm feeling like it's kind of like a, ugh. And I don't want it to feel that way. Because see, you can change anything. You can change anything. But I want you to think about it, because you have to actively know what you're doing as a father. The other way that we express our praise and worship is through our words. It changes what we say on the inside and the out and outside. Scientists believe that the average child hears the word no 40,000 times during their childhood. Get ready, Eric. 40,000 times. 40,000 times that a child hears the word no. Now, don't get me wrong. Sometimes they need to hear the word no. But you understand, we kind of live in a society where we set it up to stay away from the praise. As a parent, this is what I was talking about earlier, sometimes, and we are supposed to teach and discipline, but if you forget the other part, it's going to affect your children. They need to be praised. They need to see you praise God and to see you praise their mother or their father, their brothers and their sisters, and them. They need that. It's part of what will feed them. 40,000 times during a childhood, a child hears the word no. You need to look for and find reasons to praise your children. Now, those of you who don't have children, this is one of the things that I do every day. It's like when I'm going into the gym. I compliment people. I find reasons to praise them and what they're doing. I say, most of you know this, at a boy or at a girl, a lot. I do. But I'm doing it as an encouragement to everybody. I'm making sure that I'm encouraging them. Your words are powerful. When you praise your kids about good stuff that they do, they'll do more of it. You got to understand that. Listen, your family and other people will do whatever you praise them for. I'll tell you a little crazy story, but it's something personal about me, but you'll get it, okay? I'm a little bit of a clean freak, okay? I'm a little bit of a clean freak, and I don't keep sanitizer in my car and do that on my hands all the time. But here's what I do. When I get ready in the mornings or in the afternoons, whenever that might be, Kitty will tell you, and she tells other people this, I wipe my seat down, I make sure the mirror is wiped clean, and I make sure everything's back where it's supposed to be before I walk away. That's just who I am. But here's the deal. I have heard Kitty tell people, so many people, about that and how much she loves that, that I don't leave any hair in the sink. I don't leave toothpaste on the sink. I don't leave things in the sink. Guess what I do every time I get finished at the sink? I think about what Kitty said every time. Now, it's already built into me, but because she praised me for that, sometimes I'll just walk by my sink, just make sure there's not a hair in there somewhere. I go, we're not going to have any of that. People will do whatever you praise them for. People will do whatever you praise them for. I know it's easy to get frustrated in the world that we live in. We live in a world that we experience violence and pain and things going on around the world. And it's easier for us sometimes to just feel helpless about it. But rather than sitting around and waiting for the world to change, it's better to start making changes within your own circle, what you control. And here's where I want to go with this morning. You see, you control your inner circle of making your life a life of constant praise, always. Our actions is the next piece. There are blessings waiting on us through our praise. A mindset of praise will generate dreams. I want you to hear that. A mindset of praise will generate dreams for you. It'll generate things for you to do. It will open your eyes to possibilities. I'll tell you what I notice when I live my life, and I live it on a daily basis of trying to live it full of praise, I see things I've never seen before. Which, by the way, gives me other opportunities to praise by the things that I see. I want to ask you a question this morning, and I don't think anybody in here is going to know, but does anybody in here know a man by the name of Joshua Simonette? Anybody? I'll just as a test, I thought this would be crazy if anybody did. Joshua Simonette. I want to tell you about Joshua. Joshua today is a pastor at Mark Batterson's church in Washington, D.C., huge church in Washington. Mark Batterson is one of my favorite authors. I'm reading one of his books right now, Chasing the Lion, and I highly recommend it. It's a great book. And I got his newest one for Father's Day, and I can't wait to get into that one. But Joshua Simonette is a pastor at his church. But I want to tell you his story. He's from Stone Mountain, Georgia. He's from Stone Mountain, Georgia, and he lives a life of praise. See, Joshua had a dream. He was a high school football player from one of the colleges in Stone Mountain. And Joshua's dream was to play in the NFL. And I want you to, please don't miss this. And Joshua was a man of praise. He praised God for the talent that he had. He praised God for all the things that he was able to do. He was a part of his life. He is a part of his life, still is. But he played high school ball in Stone Mountain, and he was a really, really good athlete, but no major college recruited him. None of them came calling. But Joshua had a dream, and he was a man of praise. One school offered him an opportunity to come play football on a scholarship. Tennessee Tech. Anybody know about Tennessee Tech? They're the Golden Eagles. You've never heard of them. I haven't either. They have 9,000 students. It's a really small school. But Joshua was thankful for the opportunity, and he had a dream, and he lived a life of praise. He played his 4 years there at Tennessee Tech. He was a good enough athlete that he holds almost all the records from a defensive back perspective for that school. Interceptions and yards returned for a touchdown and all the tackles. He's the best one that's ever played at the school, but nobody at that school had ever been drafted in the NFL. But Joshua had a dream. He kept holding on to that dream, and he said it within his dream that he knew he was going to make it, and he praised God that he was going to make it. He left that praise out there that his dream was going to come true because he was going to do the work. Well, when he was a senior, when he was a senior in 2000, the NFL draft day came, and it went. The NFL does 7 rounds with 32 teams. 224 college athletes were selected, and Joshua was not one of them. He had good stats, but he just wasn't selected for the draft. So his dream was over. Or was it? See, no matter what Joshua went through, he was a man of praise, and he had a dream. And he wasn't ready to let it go. Joshua received a phone call from the Washington Redskins to come and have a tryout. And most of you who know anything about the NFL, very few people make the team when they do that. Very few. But Joshua went to the tryouts, and he made the team for the Washington Redskins. See, Joshua was a man with a dream and a man of praise. And because he did that, it came true for him. I read his story. Now, I'd like to stand here and tell you that he became a big star in the NFL, but I gave you his name. You've never heard of him because he didn't. He didn't become a big star. But when I was reading his story, he said it this way. He said, "That wasn't my dream. That wasn't my dream. I wanted to be the best that I could be, but my dream was to make it into the NFL." So he wound up only playing in the NFL for 3 seasons with 2 different teams, but he got his dream because he was a man who had a dream, and he was a man who lived his life of praise. You can do anything you want to in life if you're willing to go for it. The catch is you have to be willing to put the work in and create it and live a life of praise. You have to actually believe it. If you don't believe it, you'll always be wishing, hoping, asking God or somebody else to get it for you. It all starts and ends, though, with what we're talking about today, with praise. All your dreams will come to you by living a life of praise. And how to fulfill those dreams will come to you by living a life of praise. In closing, I want to talk to you about the final step in this, and that's the results of living a life of praise. How is it done? This is what I alluded to very early. It's done this way. It's as simple as this. It's a decision, and that's all it is. It's just a decision. Every morning you get up, you may not realize it, but you make a decision right then and there what the rest of your day is going to be like. And it can change as the day goes on. But first thing that happens to you when you get up in the morning, you make a decision. Most of us, we get so used to it, we don't even think about it. And that's the problem. We don't think about it, and we miss it. All it is a decision. When I do my life coaching, I tell my clients this. I said, this is the easiest thing in the world. It's the easiest thing in the world when you latch onto it and understand that you can change your life just by making a decision. That's all it is. It's just a decision. Make the decision to live your life a life of praise, to start your day that way. See, I'm a Star Wars fan. Now, I don't have any t-shirts, and I don't have stuff stuck up on my wall, but I'm a Star Wars fan. Don't want you to misunderstand here a minute. But I love all the messages that are in Star Wars movies. I love "May the Force be with you." I think of that all the time. When I leave my house, I'm thinking to myself, "May the Force be with you." The force of positivity, the force of God, the force of living a life of praise. That's what I think about every time. I want the force with me. In the movie The Empire Strikes Back, it was released in 1980. Luke is a Jedi Knight, and he's just learning how to become a Jedi. He's already discovered some things about himself, but those of you who've watched the movie, if you hadn't, you need to go watch it. Luke goes to a planet to talk with the master Jedi. His name is Yoda. And Yoda is there to teach him about becoming a Jedi Knight. Now, when Luke landed on the island, he had somewhat of a crash with his ship. It landed in water, and it was sinking. And Yoda had a lesson for him. He was teaching Luke how to allow the Force to work in his life. And he told Luke, he said, all you got to do is put it in your head and make that ship come out of that water, and it'll be okay. You can save your ship that way, and then you can go about your business, go do what you're doing. And Luke tried, and he tried, and he tried. And the ship would come up out of the water a little bit and go back down. Come up out of the water a bit and go back down. And he gave up and he walked away. And then in the movie, Yoda shakes his head because he's the master Jedi. And Yoda, little bitty creature, steps up, looks at the ship, puts his hand out there. The ship rises up, comes out, sets it on the ground. And Luke comes running over to him and he said, Luke came over there to him and he said, well, let me back up because I missed this piece. The first thing was Yoda was telling him to do it and Luke told him, I'll try. And Yoda said, there is no try, do. There is no try. And here's the reason. When we say we're going to try something, it's just a gamble. See, I'm glad I looked back over those notes there because I want you, you can't miss this. See, if you want to change your life and live with a life of praise, you have to do it, not try. There is no try. Just do it. It's the decision that you make. But Luke had said, I want to try. Yoda put it to him and said, look, don't go through your life that way. See, that's part of the Force. That's part of the thing is there is no try. Do. Do. So back to where I was when Yoda got the ship up and he put it on dry ground. Luke comes over to Yoda and he says, I don't believe it. And Yoda said, that's why you fail. See, even then, Luke was saying, I don't believe what I saw with my own eyes. And Yoda's sending him a message and says, that's why you fail, son. Because you're looking at it the wrong way. You're looking at it with unbelief. And as long as you look at it that way, it won't happen. It won't happen. Hey, I know I rambled a little bit today and all spotty here and there, but this is what I want to close with and make sure you understand. You have the opportunity every day of your life to live a life of praise. And if you'll do that, it'll change everything for you and for your family and for the families that you don't even know are coming along generations down the road. What you set forth, you set it in motion. It all starts with you. It doesn't matter where you came from or what you've been taught before. It's going to start right now, today. There is no try. Do. Make the decision that you're going to live your life a life of praise every single day. You can have whatever you want to have in life, but it has to start with praise and belief. A life of praise will always add to your life. It'll always add to your life. Another question I have for you today is, do you want to live a life of peace and love and harmony and abundance? It all starts with our mindset of praise and a belief that it's available, of seeing what you're blessed with, of seeing the possibilities, living out your thankfulness with praise. My mentor, Ralph Martin, he uses this a lot, and you've all probably heard it. He says, we are spiritual beings tolerating a human experience. I like that, and I use that a lot. But I want to explain it to you this way this morning. We are humans here on this earth. And that's why we're called human beings. Because we're just being human. We're being human. My message to you today is, don't live your life just being human. Take it in the other realm, on the spiritual side of living your life full of thanksgiving, appreciation, and praise. I work on doing this in my life, and when I do, my spirit just takes over. I said to you a minute ago, I see things I've never seen before, and I would still pass those by, but my spirit is looking for it all the time, and it sees it and says, hey, Joey, look. Look at this. Look at that. You hear that? Do you see that? Because I'm trying to continually develop that within myself. See, spirit knows all. It doesn't make mistakes. When we allow ourselves to live a life of praise in everything that we do, then we live the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It all starts with praise. It all starts with praise, and it'll take you right there. I base everything I do on mojo, basing things on scripture, of coaching people on Proverbs 4:23, and it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And in that scripture, your heart is your mind. Guard your mind, for it's the wellspring of life. I guard my mind, and every morning when I wake up, I start immediately thinking about how blessed I am. How blessed I am. And then I stick it into another gear, and I think to myself, I want to bless other people today. I want to bless people all the time. I want to live a life of constant praise. I want to live a life of constant praise, and I want it to be evident with me. Life is always in motion. We're either on the path of getting better or we're falling behind. It's one or the other. There is no in between. I believe in positive thinking. Positive people are pulled by the future. People who struggle live their life being pulled by the past. No matter where you are at any moment, you can choose to step into this life of constant praise, no matter what. I want you to remember what I said. It's all about making a decision. That's all it is. It's just a decision. You decide every day, all day long, how am I going to live my life? And you may have trouble in your life. And if it becomes your focus, it'll become bigger trouble. And it'll keep growing. But if you'll live a life of praise, and you'll praise God through whatever it is, just like Paul and Silas did in prison, praising, the troubles go away. They disappear. It's all up to us. Right? Thank you.
I want you to stand with me before we receive our morning tithes and offerings and all, and do our alms at the end. Two things I want you to think about. There's a word that we use a lot, whether it's dedicate or rededicate, that it's a lifelong principle of dedicating your life to a cause, dedicating your life, or rededicating. I've been 41 years of pastoring because I've rededicated myself to that over and over and over and over again. But you've heard a lot over the last several years. Maybe you hear, and you've never said, I'm going to dedicate or I'm going to rededicate my life to a life of praise, a life of thanksgiving. And not only am I going to make that dedication. I'm going to do it. So I can make the dedication or rededication to it this morning. It's kind of easy to do. But in the morning is Monday. Right? Monday morning's coming. There's an old saying, Sunday morning's coming. That's a great thing, but let me flip that over for you a moment. Monday morning's coming too. Monday morning's going to be whether or not we're going to really take the dedication or the rededication of my life to praise, thanksgiving, appreciation. Am I going to do it Monday morning? Because it's going to come here. If you want to dedicate your life to this, or you want to rededicate your life to this, would you just come and stand across this front and say, I'm going to dedicate my life to this. I want to see it work. I want to see 3 months from now to be able to look back and go, that worked. That worked. It's not just words. It's not just a message. It's not just what we're about here. It's everything. It's everything. You know, I'm not going to tell you what it was, but sometime I was a little boy, Joy, I had people tell me over and over again two things about my life. I heard it. I can remember back as far as 4 and 5 years old, all the way to adulthood, these two words were spoken to me probably hundreds of times. It molded my life. I am part of who I am today because of words that my father and my mother spoke over me. And not only they did, but other people spoke over me. Two things about me that molded my life, that became who I am because of those words. If you wanted to become these things, would you just do that? Would you just say today, I'm dedicating or rededicating my life to a life of praise and thanksgiving, appreciation. David, you can be bringing your wife down. We're going to pray for her for the surgery tomorrow. But Monday morning's coming. The morning's going to wake up. I got to make that decision. Am I going to do it today? Am I going to do it today? Then Tuesday and Wednesday's coming. And I want to tell you something about Wednesday. It's not over the hump. Because Thursday's coming. Friday and Saturday and Sunday. Guess what's coming back? Monday's coming again. It's going to keep rolling around, around and around. There's no over the hump Wednesday. The only way to get over the hump is get over the hump today and every day. So, Father, I thank you that we're dedicating ourselves today to a life of praise, a life of thanksgiving, a life of honoring other people, and not only praising you, but begin to praise other people. To be able to pass on to my children and my children's children words of adoration, words of praise, and words of thanksgiving. Father, I thank you that you're our healer, that by your stripes that we are healed. We thank you, God, that you are in control of everything in life. Lord, you said that your word holds everything together. This whole universe is held together by your word. Our life is held together by your word. And we thank you for divine healing. Thank you, Lord, for peace and comfort, and that all is well. We thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It's just a real peace of God that's going to come over you today. I know there's been some apprehension. I'm sure who wouldn't have apprehension about surgery. But there's going to be a real peace of God that passes all understanding just to flood your heart and soul today. And any little ounce of fear that may be there, it's going to disappear. And you're going to just feel this, like, I mean, you're going to literally feel it. It's going to be just the peace of God to flow over you. All is well. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. You may be seated. Our ushers are coming. Worship God with our giving. And after they pass the offering buckets, if you give online, and you push the button online, thank you for doing that. Just give that old bucket a thump, just letting everybody know you're going to punch online when it comes by. Just by faith, punch that bucket. Say, I'm punching my bucket today because I'm going to punch that donation button in the morning. And after that, today is the last Sunday of the month. Thank you for your almsgiving. We're going to be sending out a letter in a week or so that's going to be giving you an update on our giving for the year and how much is where we are and what's happened, how much money has gone out to missions, how much money has gone out to alms. It's not. Thump that button. Thump that bucket. So let's stand with me one more time. And as we sing and worship for dismissal, come down and give your alms. And let's just... And if you don't have it, if you're going to give on alms, come down and just hit that this morning. There you go. God bless you.